I just want to share this tremendous information with you, just in case you didn't know it. But the scientists out there and the researchers have revealed that global warming and global cooling canceled each other out. And everything is back to normal. How many of you think I'm normal? Why are you laughing? You know what they say? If you take a praying mantis and cross it with a termite, you know what you'll get? You'll get a bug that says grace before it eats your house up. Grace. Last week we looked at the transforming element of the grace of God and how it indeed affects our lives as we look upon the cross and what God did for us to introduce to us grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. And the aspect of that, of course, was seen in God loving us enough to allow His Son to take our place. I want you to get this. Are you listening? Say yes. Okay. God chose to not give us what we deserve. That's mercy. However, God chose to give to us that which we could never deserve, and that's grace. Did you hear that? God chose not to give us what we deserve, and that's the mercy of God. But God did choose to give us what you and I could never deserve, and that is grace. Imagine somebody showing up at your front door. You go and answer the door, and here's this box, all wrapped up and delivered to you, and you go take it in the house and you open it up. And inside is this beautifully, unbelievable, wrapped present from someone. No name attached, nothing there that you know of as far as who it's from. So you open it up, and inside is this unbelievable, wonderful, precious gift. And then you read the little note that's inside, and it says and tells you who it's from. In fact, this gift has been delivered to you from a person who you refuse to talk to. You have not related to them kindly. You have not wanted to have anything to do with this person. You have avoided them. And yet here is this unbelievable gift that has been delivered to you from this person. What would you do? Well, think about it. The world, all of us at one time, have avoided acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We have not wanted to have a relationship with Him or to do whatever, and we have avoided Him many, 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 many times in our individual lives. We've maybe even have rebelled against Him. We've refused to acknowledge Him. We could even have taken His name in vain many times and mistreated Him. And yet, we received a gift. In this gift is the expression of a love of the gifter, the one who gave it. And even though we have avoided Him, even though we have not wanted to have fellowship or have anything to do with Him or whatever, and we rebelled against Him, whatever, God still so loved the world, He sent a gift. He sent a gift. And the gift was His Son. We have talked about this gift being wrapped in swaddling clothes, coming in a manger, swaddling clothes. Yes, God gave a gift, and that gift is a gift of grace. Because Ephesians 2, if you remember, tells us, verse 8, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." How many of you received that kind of gift from Muhammad? Any other God out there? Anybody out there that you know a God that has offered you that kind of a gift? Anybody? Isn't it amazing? The very one who created us, being that we are His offspring, the one in whom we move and have our being, the one to whom we have rejected and sinned again, still loved us enough that while we were all yet enemies, He commended His love toward us and He let His Son come and He died for us. Now, how many of you think you deserve that? You see, none of us. That's grace. Romans 6:23, but the free, now get that, free, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life, okay? So what do you see in this gift? If you were to look into the gift and examine the gift of grace, what would you really see? I want to know, what do you see this morning? See, some of the issues that we're dealing with in our Christian walk is we don't really have a good view of grace. We haven't really come under the grace of God. We haven't really put ourselves under that grace and standing there. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says we are to stand under and in the grace of God. Because it is by grace you're going to be saved. You can't earn it. It is a gift. If it was a gift, then there'd be a different story. Maybe you'd have to do something to earn God's favor. But God knew you could never do that. And so God poured all of His wrath out on His Son for you. That's what He did. Because He loved us. So what do I see? What do you see? When I look into this box of the grace of God, I see the fullness of God's love. I don't see just a little. I don't see a little dab of do you. I see the fullness of the love of God that He has for me. How many times have you questioned whether God loves you or not? How many of you think you're lovable? How many wives would want to say that about their husbands? Well, I mean, let's not answer that question. But do you know what it says? It says, for God so loved. Underline the word so. So. He didn't just love us. He so loved us. The emphasis is on that little word. He put the emphasis there. You'll see in this gift the fullness of God. In fact, Ephesians tells us that as God's people, we're to comprehend together the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of God that has come to us in Christ Jesus. So that's what I see. I see God's love. I see His kindness. I see His goodness. I see that. I see it fully. The fullness of God's love. Secondly, I see that it is meeting all the requirements that the law ever demanded. You know what the law demanded? Perfection. Perfection. In fact, James says if you break the law in one point, you become guilty of it all. And yet the Bible shows me very clearly that in this love gift that God gave for me, Jesus came to take the law that you and I were living under, that administrator of death, that requires perfection, and He lived it to its perfection. He never sinned. Therefore, I see here, by God's grace, that He has offered this gift, this perfect gift, this sinless gift, as a means by which I could, if I will, accept it as a payment for my sins. That God has offered Him up, and He has meant, that is Jesus, did for me what I could never meet, the requirements of the law. He did that for me. He lived it perfectly. And then He took it to the cross and He nailed it there. And He abolished it. The law came by Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What do you see when you look in the box? Thirdly, I find that His perfect life qualified Him then to do what? To pay the price for my sins. You see, we've been bought with a price, have we not? And the price was His blood, wasn't it? He shed His blood on our behalf that we could, by God's grace, that grace become available to us only through the offering of what Jesus made on the cross. He died for me. He took my place. God laid on Him the iniquities of us all. God crushed Him for you and for me. And for one moment, Jesus experienced what all of us will never have to experience as we are God's people. Why, God, my Father, have You forsaken me? You see, death can't and will never separate you from God. When you die, you're going to be with the Lord. You'll never experience what He did on the cross for you. You see that in God's grace, in that box that You had and came to you and me as a gift from God? When you and I acknowledge Christ, we obey His commandments, because we love Him, all of the riches of God's grace becomes accessible and available to us. Each day, God causes your heart to go boom, 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 boom. Bible says, in Him you move and have your being. We are His offspring. If Ananias could lie and Sapphira lied against the Holy Spirit, boom, they drop dead that wake up. Then who took their spirit? Well, God did. You remember Jesus saying, into your hands I command my spirit. And He then lowered His head and He died. You understand that every breath you take is a gift from God? Every drop of water, every drink you take is a gift of God's grace. Everything that is good, everything that is perfect, everything that comes down from your Heavenly Father. You're a Heavenly Father of light, and there's no variation, no shadow, no turning with Him. He's the same all the time, every time. And that this God that you have, and that is, I mean, when you pray, what do you pray? When you're sick, what do you pray? Do you not pray for God to heal you? Does God heal or doesn't He? If He doesn't, then why do we pray for it? Huh? Does God control the aspects of how our body functions? Did He not create it? Can't God then, in the providence of His will, increase the ability of our body to do what it's created? Can the body not heal itself? Contained within itself? If you do what you need to do in the relationship with that? Well, of course it can. You know that, so do I. And so, and regardless of man's opinion of Him, God offers to us a gift of grace, a gift that you and I, no matter how people rebel against Him, no matter how they do not understand that they are enslaved to their fleshly desires and sin, that doesn't matter. They can do whatever they want. They can refuse the relationship He offers that you and I share, the intimacy, the Spirit of God inside, fellowshipping with His Spirit. They can refuse all that. It doesn't matter. God doesn't change. God is love. God demonstrated that love. Therefore, let us draw near this morning, in this few moments, to the throne of grace. What do you do when you go to God? You're coming before a throne of grace. In that there you will receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you hear all that? We come with what? Confidence. Before what? A throne of grace. What? Grace is order that we might receive from God what you and I know we will never deserve. You understand what I just said? God offers us whatever we can and we need, whether we deserve it or not, because of His greatness. God is a God of grace. We can come and we will receive what? Mercy. Now, mercy, God chose not to give us what we deserve. That is, because of the mercifulness of God, then He will give us what we don't deserve anyway. Are you hearing me this morning? I think it's time for you and me to realize the freedom we have in Christ because of the grace of God. So many of us are still beating ourselves up. So many of us are putting ourselves and thinking all the time that you and I, and over and over and over and over again, we just are trying to stretch ourselves and blow ourselves up in our estimation before God, that He's going to look down on favor of us and on, on. No, 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 no. No, no, no. As far as God is concerned, you don't even live anymore. You were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, yet not you, but Christ lives in you. And there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. If God received His Son and gave Him a name above every name and exalted Him to the right hand and made Him both Christ and King and Lord, and you are immersed into Him, and you are a part of His body, and as Ephesians 2 says, you were raised up with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places. You're already seated on the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. That is what grace teaches you if you look in the box. And many of us have never looked out and understood exactly what occurred when God allowed His Son to take our place. If there is no condemnation and you are in Christ, you know what that means? Exactly what it said. God didn't send His Son to condemn the world. if God doesn't condemn you and Christ doesn't condemn you, then who does? The problem with many of you, you keep condemning yourself. You keep putting yourself under the tree of condemnation. And if you're doing that, you will never be free to fly like an eagle and to soar and to know the liberty and the freedom that Jesus brought to you and me, that we could grow and mature and become what God called us to be as His children, and not put the pressure on us day after day after day. I got to please God. I got to please God. No, the only one who could please God was Jesus. Only He pleased the Father and fulfilled everything that God required, knowing you could never do it. You could never do it. You know what God requires of you? That you thank Him. That you just get down on your knees, humbling before Him, and thank Him for His grace and for His mercy that He gave to you and me. And that in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, He's offered you a free gift of eternal life. Stop trying to earn it. You can never. You can't pay the price that's going to make it worthy for God to save you. No, not at all. In fact, Ephesians 2, if you remember, said we are His workmanship, created in Christ, right? Therefore, everything we are and everything we do and everything that we're going to become is a divine work of God. So what does this grace offer to you and me? It offered you a new life. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. What does that mean? That word is neo. That means that when you became a Christian, you come up out of the water, you begin to walk in the newness. You started walking in a life that you never walked in before. The old was put away, the old man was crucified, the body of sin was destroyed, and everything became new. In fact, you became a whole new creation of God. What did God do? According to Ezekiel, this is what He promised. God promised that He would do a heart transplant. God promised that when you became a new creature in Christ, He would put His heart. He would remove your heart and put a new heart in you, and that He would take your spirit and He would put it and crucify it, and His spirit would come and take dwelling in you so that your body has become the temple of the living God and that He lives in you. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I get chills when I think about it. That the Creator of the universe actually, by faith, through the Holy Spirit, is in me. Transforming me. Changing me. And someday He's coming back to receive me and give me this great gift that was offered called eternal life. You know, that is the only thing. It's a single promise. The single promise is eternal life. All the other promises that God makes to us is so that He can help us to receive that gift of eternal life. You know that, don't you? Huh? Say yes or no. Do you know that? That if all the other promises of God contain toward His people is that He can help you make it and receive that gift of eternal life. I see freedom. The Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom. Freedom, brethren. I see security. Jude 24 says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy. Did you hear that verse? Listen to it one more time and get yourself out of the picture. Just pretend you don't even exist for one moment, and put your focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And listen to what the Holy Spirit says to Jude. Jude says, now to Him, Jesus, the Son of God, He is able, what? To keep you from stumbling, falling flat on your face. He's able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. Wow. Amen, amen, and amen. Who is able to do that? You remember who you saw in the box? Who was the gift? The gift that God gave to you?
was his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. Remember what Isaiah said? Look into the future, 800 years before Jesus was born. He said, unto you shall be born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Isaiah said that baby that was going to be born is going to be a baby born for you. Okay? Now, what are these unbelievable aspects of God's grace that he's given to us? 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you may become rich. You notice in Ephesians there, where we read this morning, verse 4 said, but God being rich in mercy, God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Notice verse 7. So that the ages to come, in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. The riches of his grace that you received through God's Son. I can think of a lot of them, but let's make sure we understand these riches are of a spiritual nature. Number one, he's chosen you. The Bible says, just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world was even laid. You see, the divine program of God was that he already knew before he even created this world that down the road, because of what man would do, there was this element of choice and election that he established. He didn't predestine any of us to heaven or hell, but he did predetermine and pre-elect a quality, a chosen people that he himself would create. He knew the work that he would accomplish in the human heart because of the love and the grace of God that was going to be given to man. You have been given since Pentecost. You and I have been given an unbelievable gift from God because we have been chosen of God to be his children. We're not just children. We indeed are his children. We've been adopted into the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. The richest gift God has given me is you. It's you. It's you. I haven't seen my brother and talked to him for who knows long. My brother doesn't walk the walk I walk. He's in darkness and I'm in the light. What fellowship did darkness have with light? Huh? What fellowship do I have with you? Who am I going to spend eternity with? Huh? Who do I fellowship with and share my life with and my love with? Isn't it you? Isn't the greatest gift God has given us as a people is the body of Christ that you and I are all members of, a part of, and that we have been adopted together into this great family, and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and whether you like it or not, you're going to spend eternity with me. Yeah, you are. Because you and I have been redeemed by the same precious blood of Jesus. You all been bought with the same price, isn't that right? And you accepted the price just like I did. You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You've been justified by the grace of God, having been justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know what the word justified means? Ruth gave us a beautiful definition here. If you, I don't know, been wild by it, but it's to treat you as if you had never sinned. It means to pronounce you not guilty. You're not guilty. You've not been guilty. That's, God doesn't look upon you as if you have and are a sinner. Because you, in his eyes, you aren't. You're in the perfect Son of God. Being in Christ, you are, and God sees you as sinless. Isn't that something? Is that a grace or isn't it? Huh? That's how you're going to get saved. You're going to get saved through his perfection and his sinlessness, not yours. Because if you say you are without sin, you lie and the truth isn't in you. But if you will confess that sin to God, he is good and just and righteous and he will forgive you. So what is the great gift in this box? It's forgiveness. You know what God says? I will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. Know what he said? Huh? Yeah. I shared this and you know it. That you know the north and the south meet? They do. You know, the east and the west extend into infinity of space and time, and they never meet. So what did God say? I will remove your sins as far as they can be removed. They're gone. And I will remember them no more. How many of you still remember your sins, things you did wrong, still bringing them up, still going over and 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 letting those elements still control mistakes you made, things you shouldn't have done, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You will never get rid of your past until you put your past under God's grace. There's not a psychiatrist or a psychologist that can destroy your past. Only God can. All they do is help you try to live with it. I don't live with my past anymore. Paul said, this one thing I do. I forget the past. And I mark on towards the high calling of God that I've received in Christ Jesus. That's grace, people. God sets me free so I can fly and soar and grow and mature and become what He wants me to become. We've been reconciled to God. Grace reconciles us. And if we were enemies, and we were indeed looked upon as enemies, but now we've been reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we're going to be saved. Are you listening? We're going to be saved by His life. We're going to be saved how? By His life. Not ours, His. Okay? We're free from condemnation. Now you're listening? Romans 8:1. Underline it. Read it over and over and over. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and in death. If you're in Christ, you are not living under the law of being condemned. You're not. There is no condemnation in Christ. None. Period. Okay? So how wealthy are you? What could you really want more? Don't you see that everything internally within you is meant through the cross and through the love of God? You see, money, wealth, world, nothing can give you what this message, this book gives you. I don't care what you can't buy this. You can't buy your salvation. You can't go out there and do whatever to think that somehow or other you're going to earn your salvation. You cannot. You and I, again, as Ephesians, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do and to walk in the works that He predestined we would walk in before He even created the world. I'm just doing what God is doing in my life. And who gets the glory? God does. God does. In closing, Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also freely give us all things? What's that saying? Well, if God loved you enough to let His only begotten Son to die for you, why would you question in your mind that God will not also freely give you everything you need? All things. Right? Right? Yes. Yes, 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 Bill, that's right. That's right, Bill. Yes, that's right. So in the essence of that, we sing a song that I think is the very, very center of all this. Because as God's people, we need to stand under the grace of God and take and know that it's God's grace that's going to save us in the ultimate end. Okay? And we'll find an unmovable foundation if we build our lives on God's grace. It is like a canopy that surrounds like a protective wall. And as the truth of God's grace permeates into your mind and into your heart, it will heal your heart. It will heal your mind. And you'll begin living expressible and expressing His love, not your love, and His kindness, not your kindness, His goodness, not your goodness. We'll forgive as we've been forgiven. We'll love as we've been loved. We'll be a different people. And it won't happen until you put yourself under and understand God's grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sins and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount are poured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Dark is the stains we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is a flowing, a crimson tide, whiter than snow you can come to abide. God's grace, grace that is pardons and cleansed from sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. All of them. You see, God's grace covers all the sins of Adam, Cain, Abel, and will until the end of the world. That's how gracious He is. And for God's sake, and to His glory, put yourself under His grace. Remember, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The ultimate aspect. That grace is amazing. I wish to God, I pray to God that I and you together can experience that amazing grace and find the riches that it is offered to us in its fullness. We're going to sing in closing, Amazing Grace. Shall we stand together? You know the song. We'll put it on the screen. But let's sing it meaningfully and prayerfully and understanding the fullness of the grace of God and what it has offered to you, the riches that it's offered to you in every aspect of it.